Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Warrior star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hello, and welcome to Millennial Mama. Before we wrap up 2020, I want to talk about mindfulness. And for this, I've invited Tejal Patel, a well-being warrior who is a mindfulness and meditation advocate for moms and kids. She's also the author of Meditation for Kids and hosts the Time and Talks podcast. Let's hear what she has to say. Hi, Tejal. Welcome to Millennial Mama. Finally glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tejal, I love what you do. Like, I'm such a big fan of your work. I've actually saved a ton of your posts because I want to try them and teach my daughter about all this. So I knew I wanted to have you here.
Of course. I'm so excited. It's so great with social media that you can have people like you're in India and I'm in America and we still can connect, which is so awesome.
Absolutely. And you know, Tejal, when I came across you, I was very intrigued by what is a mindfulness coach, and especially you have a book which is out for children, Meditation for Kids. And I was very intrigued by all of this. So I'm going to start this interview by asking you, what is the difference between mindfulness and meditation? And why is meditation so important?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked this, because as meditation and mindfulness has become mainstream, a lot of times these words are used interchangeably, and they're similarities. However, there are differences to it. So mindfulness is the practice of learning to focus on one thing at a time. So when you think of it, you can do it with, so you could do it with your eyes open or your eyes closed. You know, we hear things like, you know, mindful cooking or mindful walking or mindful driving. So you can do it with your bringing your full attention to whatever task you are doing right in the moment. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely, because now we are mindful social media as well.
Yes, exactly. So it's like you're being fully engaged and being fully present and aware to what you're doing. So like I said, you can practice mindfulness anytime, anywhere, eyes open, eyes closed. Whereas meditation is the act of the formal act of sitting and trying to build the mindfulness muscle. So you're not doing anything else, except you're trying to bring your attention to the activity of meditation. So you are, and there's many, many different types of meditation. However, what you're trying to do is you're trying to build that skill of training your brain to slow down and focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And I was actually just about to ask you, because there are so many meditations, as you said, right? Some tell you to focus on the inner voice. Some tell you to focus on a light. Some tell you to let the thoughts just flow. As a beginner, what is the easiest way to begin without getting so overwhelmed? Because I don't practice meditation. I would love to, but I just feel like my mind wanders. And then there are so many, I feel there are so many rules that keep telling me, okay, focus, focus, focus. And it just like overwhelms me and scares me. So how do I begin meditating?
Yes, that's a great, great question. So one of the biggest misconceptions that we hear about meditation is that we have this idea of meditation only really looks like you have to sit still, be quiet, eyes closed, your body's not moving, and you're focusing on your breath. And the idea and the intention is to clear out the mind. Now, this is certainly a category and a type of meditation. It's called passive meditation. However, this is not the entry point of where you start with meditating, because largely, like I said, we have to train our brain to slow down, which many of us have never been trained to do. So there's another category of meditation called active meditation. Now, active meditations create mental anchors so that your mind has something engaging it, so that you're training your body and your breath to slow down. And because of that mind-body connection, your mind is automatically going to slow down, but you're not focusing on stop your thoughts, clear the mind, you know, focus on your breath. That's really, really hard to do with an untrained mind that's never meditated before. So types of active meditations are when you do a conscious type of breath work. And I'm not talking about just take deep breaths in and out. Like in the yogic tradition, there's close to 26, 27 different breathing exercises that help create a different experience in your nervous system. So if you're anxious, there's a different breath. If you're angry or frustrated, there's a different breath. If you're feeling sad, disappointed, depressed, there's a different breath that's going to reset your nervous system. So one of the things when I'm teaching children or parents is starting for 1 to 3 minutes on an active breathing exercise, which is going to train you to be able to slow down your body, and your mind is going to automatically have an experience of slowing down and feeling at ease. Another type of active meditation is mantra meditation. So specifically, as you do an in-breath, you say a mantra, and as you do an out-breath, you do a mantra. So for as a teacher of Kundalini yoga and meditation, we do Satnam a lot. That's one of our primal meditation mantras that we use. So on the inhale, you use Sat, and you mentally or say Sat, and then as you exhale, you say Nam. So that's going to keep your mind engaged. And then of course, there's guided meditation. So there's tons of apps out there, but a lot of beginners find that if they're listening to a voice or listening to music, their mind is engaged, and it's a little bit easier for them to get their body to relax, and then their mind will follow.
Wow. Thank you for breaking that down for me. Actually, you made it sound so much more, and you made it sound so simple for a beginner who gets overwhelmed.
Good. I'm glad. That's what I love to do.
So Tejal, here's something I have been meaning to ask you. Okay. So now when I was growing up, right, my parents always had these big conversations, and they always kept me out of it. You know, they always shut the room door and had this conversation. And I knew there was something, there was this big conversation happening, but I did not know what is it about. I don't want to repeat the same thing with my daughter. She's 21 months now. She's already picking up on whatever's going on around us. How can I avoid this happening? How can I keep the communication open with her? But I don't want to overwhelm her or overload her with our day-to-day stressors. So how can we have a healthy communication?
So one of the biggest misconceptions that I think as good grown-ups that we have is that believing that children don't understand what's happening, but children are more energetically in tune than grown-ups are at sometimes. And so I think it's really beneficial to, in especially when it comes to emotions, of course, you're not going to unload all the stressors that you have from the day with your child. That would be energetically overstimulating for them. But I think it's very, very important to be honest about sharing emotions, because that's one thing that's definitely, whether you lived in India or you're raised by Indian parents in America or wherever, we are never raised to be able to express and feel emotions. And this is a really important skill set for children to have, because in order to be a fully whole, sensitive, empathetic, compassionate human being, you need to be able to be in touch with emotions. So I think it's really important for children to know that, you know what, mommy or daddy are having a really frustrating moment, and this is what we're doing to help ourselves through it. I'm very open and honest with my son, and I noticed that he is able to communicate at five. He's able to say, mommy, I'm feeling frustrated, or mommy, I'm feeling really angry when you say this to me. And I wish, so we're able to have more of a communication because I've given him the space to share his feelings, because I model that myself. Mommy's feeling a little sad, but it's okay. This is what I'm going to do to help myself feel better. And my son is so amazing on days that the next day he'll ask me, he's like, mommy, I know that you were feeling sad yesterday. How are you feeling now? And it's really good for him to see that. Yes. And I think that we can't be afraid to teach our children about what it looks like to be angry versus sad versus happy versus disappointed. And we give them healthy coping models based on how we ride through feelings. It's going to help them so much when challenges and tough feelings show up in their life.
Yeah, and I love that you said that we were never taught to express our feelings, because I still sometimes have a hard time expressing myself. You know, I still would choose the I don't know route rather than sharing what I'm actually feeling, because we were never taught that. We were never told it's okay to be miserable, you know, take the day off, shut yourself, you know. We were never told that these are acceptable coping mechanisms. So, what you say that your son can communicate his feelings at five, that really is so important. It will teach him to be so intuitive as an adult to someone else's feelings as well.
I agree. I totally agree. I think my real goal and mission is that our children feel completely whole and being able to express themselves, whether, you know, you have a daughter and I have two boys, because in the future, right, before they get into relationships with other people, we want them to be able to communicate how they feel. And like you said, to be able to understand when someone communicates their feelings, how to hold space and to be able to listen and to be compassionate and not be defensive and guarded and, you know, frustrated and not know how to express those feelings.
Absolutely. I am loving this conversation, Tejal. I'm learning so much from you. I want to ask you, we are living in such a tough world right now. You know, there's so much fear and anxiety all around us. How do we teach our kids to deal with this without making them angry or resentful towards others? You know, especially in India, there's so much politics happening. It's so bad right now, the political scenario, and as well as the rapes and all of that is just on the rise. How do we teach this to our kids?
I think one of the most important things that we have to really, really teach our children is that they have the ability to feel safe within their body. So what I mean by that is that, going back to the emotions, is that we can't control what's happening in the world. And we can we can rightfully say that we don't currently live in an enlightened planet. We live in a world where there are enlightened beings, there are people who are awakening, and then there's some souls that are not at that same vibration. So we see this big justice juxtaposition of, like you said, chaos, and then there's also light and there's a lot of darkness. And I think it's really important for children to be connected to their inner power, because regardless of who's in office or who's in political control or being, you know, who even lives next door to you, when we fine tune our ability to feel safe in our body, which I mean is like self-worth, self-love, being connected to our intuition, being connected to our emotions, our children are going to be able to sense, like when I talk about, when we just talked about families, right? Our children are able to be in energetically in tune when something feels wrong in their environment. We have to really cultivate that in our children so that when they step out in the world, you can be with someone and you can sense that this feels energetically wrong. I think that's going to help them protect them. It's like an inner protection of, this is a person that I should potentially not be around, or this is a situation that I should. I think it creates this inner ability to navigate their life in a way that is right. Exactly. Being connected to that inner voice. Yeah. The other thing is trusting that everything is working out for the best case scenario. And I know that sounds big, but I sing this song with my son and this affirmation to plant in his subconscious. We have to understand, whether we consciously know it or not, that the world is evolving, and change, pain, violence, drama is the way that it's a catalyst of breaking open systems and confines that no longer work. So when we live in a world where it feels unsafe, it's really important for children and for us grownups to start embodying and how to nurture our nervous system to be able to handle the stress that we feel outside. So through breath work, through meditation, through yoga is how we build that inner resilience to be able to handle what's happening outside without buckling under the pressure and the weight of what we see. And so that's going to just help them stay connected to their inner truth, their vulnerability, their authenticity, so they can be that light in the world that we need them to do the work to be able to show up in a way that's going to help heal and evolve and to help the world evolve in a way that we haven't seen so far.
Thank you, Tejal, because that really makes me feel a lot calmer now, because this had been playing in my head for the last couple of weeks. You know, looking at everything that's happening, I was just like, how is my child going to survive or live in this situation? It's not very pretty, you know, but you just changed my perspective to this completely. So thank you so much.
Of course.
And thank you for joining me today. This was a really great chat.
Oh, it was such an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Tejal shares some great tips that will really come in handy for the holidays. If you would like to know more about Tejal's work, you can follow her on Instagram at Tejal V. Patel. You can also purchase her book Meditation for Kids on Amazon. Hope you all have the best holiday season, and I will see you with a new episode in 2021. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
You heard you could save big when you bundle home and auto with Progressive, so you went online to check it out. But then you saw a link for a survey about which type of bread you are. And now you're on question 17, barely scratching the surface of your bread identity. You always thought of yourself as a brioche, but are you actually more of a pumpernickel? Ah, yes. They said it was easy to save money bundling with Progressive, but they forgot about the rest of the internet. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.